Welcome back to Greenvale. Visit the mysterious town of Greenville in the most critically polarizing game of recent times. Experience for yourself the game that has been a cult phenomenon as you search for answers to the mysterious Red Seed murders.
That's a very short back-of-the-box blurb. I don't even know if we're going to get through the fading invert part of our theme song. I guess we'll have to make a hilarious joke right here.
That was almost as bad as the one for the Devil May Cry reboot, which was two lines and was terrible.
All right. Well, now we have a minute.
It's all about budget.
That's the point.
Welcome back, everyone, to I Love This Terrible Game. I'm Michael Colby.
I'm Chris Shaughnessy, and today's episode, we have a guest. That's fun.
I'm Cammy. I'm from Myth Story. That's with an I-E. And it's another podcast where we talk about myths and history.
Oh, I have a whole written down intro for you that I was going to
do. Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know. Actually, I did know because I sent it to you.
Yes, you did. That's all right.
You can read that. That's fine.
No, it's too late. It's too late. You've hurt my feelings now.
I'm sorry.
So.
Oh, poor Mike.
Cammy is also the co-founder of Indie Pods United. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It is an independent podcast convention where we basically just, we're trying to do it twice a year. We just had our first one back in November. And it went really, really well. And we're just hoping to get more people involved with that as well.
Cool. Cool. All right. Well, we'll link to that thing in the show notes. But for now, we are here to talk about
so many
Deadly
things.
Premonition. I'm so excited for this one. All right. So, Cammy, I guess we'll just get right into it. We are, again, we're just pretty loose, so we're just going to start talking about the game. So I don't know if you want to, if you have like a synopsis of what's going on here, or if you just want to get right into it.
I will say this is one of my favorite games, but a lot of people would not say the same thing about it. It plays a little bit like an open world game, so like Grand Theft Auto or something like that, not nearly as involved, but it does have interesting characteristics. Like if you don't shave, you'll grow a beard, or if you don't eat, you'll pass out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I am one of those people who would say that this is one of their favorite games. We did a top five sort of all time, and this was not in my top five, but it was the honorable mention. I do love this game. And it was one of the reasons that I wanted to start doing this show. So yeah, it's I wouldn't compare it to Grand Theft Auto, but
no, please. By the comparison, I just mean you get to drive around in a car.
Oh, okay,
you definitely do get to drive around in a car, but
and you
get
to peek in people's windows, and that's super fun.
That is a very like weird underrated part of this game where you can just be a pervert to people. You can
creeper.
Totally creep on everyone. It's great.
What's the weirdest thing you saw peeking in people's windows?
I don't think I saw anything too weird because I really only sort of figured out the peeping mechanic closer to the end. And it was really just looking in on the like the police station.
Okay.
Although the what is his name? The deputy guy.
Thomas?
Thomas, he does some very weird stuff even when he's at work.
Yeah, he really does. I actually saw, I was looking in one window and there are these two twins that witness one of the murders. I believe it's the first murder. And so they're in this house and I was very suspicious of them because they're weird. And so I peeked in the window and they were sitting on a pentagram summoning some kind of demon.
Wow. Okay.
That never came up later. It's part of the story.
Demon summoning.
Did they, did they successfully right. summon the demon? Or
I can't remember. I just remember them like sitting there like chanting. And I assume it was demon summoning.
Well, I currently have this on my Switch and I haven't been playing it, but I think I'm going to start playing it now. Wow. Okay.
That part made the game for me.
Yeah, the game.
For
all of its flaws, for all of the like really... The controls are bad. The driving controls are very bad.
Just like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, except at least you can drive fast in Grand Theft Auto. These cars have like a speed cap on them of like 60 miles an hour, and it feels like you're driving 60 miles an hour.
It feels like Mario Kart for the DS. If either of you played that, like it's just not fast.
Yeah, no, it...
Oh no, that's terrible.
It definitely feels slow, but at the same time, you know, everything is timed in the game, so sometimes you need to waste time, so you feel, and the conversations that you have with Zach while you're driving is like some of the most insane and like interesting dialogue in the game. So like I have found myself circling blocks just to hear the rest of Morgan's weird story about some, you know, obscure 80s movie that he loved.
And by the way...
So it's like the car ride in Saints Row. You're just going along listening to some random nonsense.
Basically, like Zach is not a real person, though.
Well, Zach
doesn't exist. Zach's in Morgan's head.
I thought the whole, well, we'll get into that later. I thought.
Sure. It's so like Twin Peaks, you know, where I can't remember the name of the guy that he was talking to, but where he just all of a sudden starts dictating to a person that isn't there.
Yeah. This definitely feels like Sweary watched Twin Peaks once, didn't quite understand it, and then went, I'm gonna make this into a game. And then he did it. Like, I think at parts this is more interesting than Twin Peaks.
God, I would hope so.
Oh, I don't want
to. Well, you have to take
you.
Twin Peaks in its time. Like, if you watched it when it first came out, it was the only thing like that, so it was very good. If you watch it now, you've seen Bones or the X-Files or whatever, and it's all of a sudden not as good anymore.
Yeah, but that makes a whole lot more sense than...
Wow, Bones and the X-Files is the most accurate description of Twin Peaks I've ever heard.
Well, they're two of my favorite shows.
Wow, okay. All right, so yeah, we're going to get it out of the way that the combat in this game is horrible.
The worst.
It shouldn't have been in here. Sweary didn't want it to be in here. But I think that whoever backed him sort of went, this is just a long movie. Why is this a video game? You have to put some sort of video game elements into it. And he went, fine, then I'm going to make weird backwards walking spine broken zombie ghost things. And I guess that was enough for them.
You know what it really reminded me of? And I just thought about this, but thinking back, Gabriel Knight 3, did either of you play that?
No.
No.
Are you familiar with any of the Gabriel Knight games?
I've heard of them. I don't think I've ever actually played any of them.
So they're point and click adventures, but they're more interactive than that. Like, you can walk around a scene, you can walk around the city and that sort of thing. And there's no combat at all. And I think that if they had done it more like Gabriel Knight 3, and the one person that's also played that game will understand what I'm saying, it would have been much better.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the combat was tacked on and not, well, it definitely wasn't the point of the game. Like, all of the other stuff that you do, like with everything being, you know, in real time, you have to attend these meetings and you have to do investigations around crime scenes. All of that stuff is very interesting and done a lot better than the combat, which just feels like Resident Evil 4 combat, but done like somehow worse.
I didn't even know that was possible.
It's definitely possible.
It's possible. I don't like to say that things are worse than they are in Resident Evil 4, but and especially in a game that I like this much,
like tank controls or anything. I wouldn't let that put you off. The combat's doable, but it's just, yeah. Ugh.
The combat is definitely, like, it works, but it's not necessary. Like, it...
And it's overly long. Like, you'll be fighting things for hours.
Yeah, and it's... You go into these combat segments, and it's like, you know that they're about to happen, and it's like, oh god, here we go, we have to do combat again. And I never feel like, I would much rather be driving around in this slow-ass car and then getting out in town and talking to people and, you know, looking around for collectibles and stuff. But that's the stuff I wanted to do. When it came to the combat section, it's like, oh no, now I have to shoot stuff. So yeah,
we can continue to talk about the combat because it really is that bad. There's no lock-on option until you get to the PS3 version. The aiming is almost impossible. I mean, almost impossible. And it doesn't matter where you shoot the thing. You could shoot it in the head or you could shoot it in the body. It always takes like 3 shots or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you get a headshot.
Did either of you play Alan Wake?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so so Alan Wake feels like a complete ripoff of this game too. I just have to put that out there.
Wow. Okay.
I know it only came out like 2 months later, so they're probably working on it at the same time or what have you, but...
But yeah, the thing about this game is it feels like, besides the combat, we have to be done talking about the combat because, yes, the combat is terrible, but it's really not the point of the game. The point of the game is this murder investigation that you're on. You get sent in as an FBI agent to investigate this one murder that turns out to be this whole sort of conspiracy in this town with this raincoat killer, which just takes these crazy twists and turns. And, you know, more women get murdered and
right
it's just
in front of you.
Yeah, it happens. And like, it's just it's like a complete thought, which is unusual in games these days. Even though this did get a sequel, this game feels like a game that starts and it tells its story and it ends. And I think that's so cool. Like, the thing I really appreciate about Deadly Premonition is that Sweary had a vision of what he wanted to do and he didn't compromise on it. He said, this is the story I want to tell. I'm going to tell that story. And it's just so interesting to me that, you know, he cut corners on what it looks like. Like, it looks bad. It looks like it looks like a Dreamcast game, which was my first thought when I put it in.
It reminds me of, did you play Dragon Age 2 or Origins, whatever the first one was called?
Dragon Age.
Like Dragon Age or Dragon Age 2, either of those.
Oh, Dragon Age, yes. I was thinking of Dragon Quest. Yes, I have played Dragon Age Origins. Yeah. Origins?
Such a good game. Such a terrible, like, such terrible graphics. And that, it reminds, like, it really reminds me of that. It looks years before its time.
It looks like they started making it in the previous generation, and then it took them until halfway through the next generation to actually put the game out, but they never went any further with making it look good. But I don't know that that's really, I don't know if that's why it happened. I just think it's, you know, he wanted to put in, you know, the timed missions like Shenmue. You know, you have to do things in real time.
Right. And yeah, then, it reminds me a lot of Shenmue, actually.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of, it took all of the good stuff from Shenmue and left most of it out. Because I don't enjoy playing Shenmue. But yeah, the story is so interesting, and it's twists and turns, and it keeps you guessing the whole time. And
yeah, what you were saying about the time missions too, I mean, there would be like a bar fight that only happened on Tuesday at 7 p.m. and you had to be there, or you didn't see it, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes it's annoying because like there is like the big town hall meeting that happens. And if you got all of your side missions cleared out at that point, you literally have nothing to do. I think I was sitting in the parking lot of that place for two like real time hours waiting for this thing to happen. Like I was doing other stuff. I just had it playing in the background.
You didn't like just sleep or something?
Probably not. I don't. But
that's what I would have done.
The cool thing was that, you know, I'm sitting in this parking lot, and as it was getting closer to the time of the meeting, people were pulling in their cars, and like they would get out of their cars and they would go into the town hall. Like the world seems like it's a small rural mountain town that not many people live in, but the people who live in that town are doing stuff the whole time. Like it's very cool that everybody's actually going on with their lives while you're playing this game. Like while you're doing stuff, they're also doing stuff, and you might see them, but you might not. And
yeah.
So it's like things are happening in the background, and not everything revolves around the player and the player character. So
and that's, I don't think too many games do that. And for a game that's this small, that when it came out originally, it was $20 on the Xbox 360, which is actually the only reason that I ever played this game, was because when this thing came out, I was broke as a joke. So like, oh, a brand new game for $20, I'll try this. But for something that had that sort of budget to do that sort of interesting stuff with the story and the world, is one of the coolest things. It just goes to show you that someone with a vision who, you know, steadfastly says, look, this is the game I want to make. I am going to make this game regardless. Like I'm really into that sort of thing. I'll play a bad game that's interesting rather than like a very polished, you know, Call of Duty first person boring ass, I've seen this story a million times before.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with that. There's some games people recommend to me, and I'm like, I actually do play Call of Duty because of the zombies. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, another one.
But all right, there's, we'll have, well, you back, I mean, I have nephews or whatever, so. But yeah, there's plenty of games that I have. Like, for instance, Life is Strange. There's not too many people probably that have played that. But that game's brilliant, and it really does what it's supposed to do. I don't know. I mean, I'd much rather have a game with a good story and characters that you can like or hate or whatever than, yeah, Call of Duty's campaign is not it.
Yeah, I'll take a... I'll take a weird stick it to the man. There's a reference that I'll bet three other people will get. I'll take a game like that that's like interesting and something I've never played before, even if it's not super, I don't want to say fun to play, but even if it's not super fun to play, I would rather it be interesting.
Have you played Stick It to the Man?
I love Stick It to the Man.
Okay, I've never played it. I think I played a demo for it or something, but
yeah, I actually have a physical copy of Stick It to the Man.
Was that on the Vita? The 3? The 4?
I don't know. I have the PlayStation 4 version of it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it is also on probably Steam and Xbox. But
that's another thing about this game, though, that it came out on the Xbox. It's so surprising because they had so few titles that were kind of niche and weird.
Yeah,
it feels like a PlayStation game. The Deadly Premonition, not Stick It to a Man, also feels like a PlayStation game.
Yeah, no,
but it feels
yeah.
like a game you would get from Sony, and a game Sony would back. But it was exclusively on the Xbox when it came out. I don't know; it might have been on PC too, but.
No, the director's cut is the only thing that's on anything. The original was Xbox 360, which is so weird because it's a Japanese developed game, which the Xbox is usually, especially back then, not super behind. Oh, I think Chris got whether it Stick It to the Man is on Steam.
Oh, I did, actually. Stick It to the Man is exclusively on Microsoft Windows.
Oh, okay. On
so it's
PC.
Only on Windows.
So it's in the Windows.
Yeah, it's only on
PC. But
it's
on PlayStation. It might be on the
Yeah,
Vita.
I was about to say, it's definitely on PlayStation.
Yeah, it definitely
I've
is.
I've seen a copy of the case.
Stay tuned for Stick It to the Man.
Yes, stay tuned for that. That'll be great.
So...
I can't imagine talking for like short of an hour on Stick It to the Man.
Yeah. I probably could, though. I'm going to ask you to play Stick It to the Man so we can have you back on.
Okay. I'm not going to like it. I don't like anything. I mean,
Well, obviously you like Deadly Premonition, so.
No, I love stuff like that. I love like a good, see, I used to be into all the point and click adventures like Monkey Island and what I mentioned before, Gabriel Knight, Hugo's House of Horrors, I think was one of them. And I just love that kind of stuff. And this game is probably the closest to that on the Xbox 360.
You actually are correct. It does feel a lot like one of those old point-and-click adventure games because there's some stuff that you have to do that's very obtuse. Like, it's not like a King's Quest where you would never be able to figure it out, but there are some very strange things that you have to do, which, again, is so much more interesting than just, you know, a Gears of War where you're just slapping yourself up against a cover and shooting aliens.
Right. I remember one part of it where you had to like find a painting or something to solve a puzzle, but the raincoat killer was after you, I want to say, at the same time.
Yeah, that was at the museum. I don't think the raincoat killer was there, but that sequence is, yeah, now that you say that, finding the paintings, because there's, I think, four of them that you have to do specific stuff to. But yeah, like I said before, that was the game that he originally made, was this murder mystery, you know, you solve what you're doing and then sort of slap the combat on, which really doesn't flow with the rest of the game. Like, this is a very cool, interesting story with good, you know, good mechanics for that type of game, like a point and click adventure or a murdered soul suspect type, you know, crime solving thing.
Even from the beginning too, like you start out, your car breaks down, you're running through like the national park or something, and the demons are after you because there's no light out because it's the middle of the night and it's raining. Mm-hmm. So that's when the demons come out, when it's raining in the middle of the night. And you're what having to turn on all the generators because they're broken. I don't
Yeah, it's there's some video game ass shit that they put in there, but
I mean
you have to. That's probably right. You know, since it was on the Xbox 360, that's probably why that stuff had to get added in so that they could get the funding to make their game.
Yeah, one thing I really didn't like was the enemy respawn. It was like, why? While you're trying to figure something out, the enemies are respawning. And I'm like, I just spent 20 minutes killing that one thing because I can't aim at it.
Yeah,
and my controller won't do what you're asking it to do.
Yeah, and the type of game that it is like a survival horror type game. So your ammo is limited and your health packs are limited and your food is limited.
And your crowbar can break.
Your crowbar breaks and, you know, everything just breaks.
It's terrible.
No.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's such a good, fun murder mystery that you want to know how it happens. So you like, well, I guess I'll push through this combat so that I can finish this game. And then when you finish it, it's like, it's somehow very, like, at the beginning of the game, York puts creamer in his coffee and it says FK. And then, like, the next character you meet is FK. And you're like, well, surely they wouldn't make it that easy to find out, you know, who was behind this thing, but they do. But somehow it's also... you know, it's also a surprise when it actually happens.
Yeah, because there's multiple baddies in this one.
Yeah, the whole, it's got police, corrupt police, and, you know, weird massive... Yeah, it's sort of a mess, but it's the most fun mess that you're gonna find.
Hey, a mess is a good thing in a story, usually. Because it can keep you focused on the story and then at the same time keep you interested in what happens in the world that you aren't involved with. Like, and I think that's where, like, why the peeking mechanic is in it. Like, we were talking about before we started recording, we were talking about how you could, like, peek in the windows. And the one time I played the game, it felt like that was there mostly. Like, yeah, it's there so you could collect evidence, but it was also there so you could be like, oh hey, what's this person who I have nothing to do anything with doing? What's going on in this town outside of me trying to figure out who murdered all these people? You know what I mean?
That really is the main character of the game is this crazy town.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely like a Hogwarts situation. Where the town itself.
Yeah, you play as York, but you, like, all the interest... Well, actually, that's not true, because York is a super interesting, deep character that you do get to know, but everyone in the town has their story, and you can learn that story. And it's a pretty long game, but I don't think you can find out everything about everyone in one playthrough. You would have to play this more than once, which...
Yeah, mostly because of that timing issue that we talked about, where you have to be at a certain place at a certain time. Because things don't happen. Like, if you miss it, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone, which is really interesting and fun and gives the game some depth. It makes it feel like a real thing, because... You know, if there's a robbery going on down the street and I don't know about it until tomorrow, I missed that event forever.
I had to sneeze and nobody wanted to hear that, so.
And now we're getting that weird fan again. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's too late. So.
Leave my fan out of this.
You leave your fan out of it. So do you have anything to sort of wrap up what your views on this game are?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I love the murder mystery part of it, hate the combat, hate the driving, But you can fast travel, so don't let that put you off. You just have to find the radio by going through story elements. One thing I do really appreciate this game that we haven't talked about at all is that it has mini games in it, and they're pretty decent. Like, you can throw darts at the bar, stuff like that. So, that, and that's one thing I really appreciate in a game is if it has a good mini game. So, I don't know. That's another thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that's basically it. Like, it's just a fun murder mystery to solve. If you like point and clicks, you're going to like this. But you have to suffer through that terrible combat.
You do. And there's more combat than you want there to be. But again, it's fine. Like, it works. Just don't bother trying to go for headshots, because it's not going to do any good. And it's also way harder than it needs to be. Just shoot at the body. Right. And
if you can hit it, if it's the ankle, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it just do the combat, get through it, because the twists and turns that this game takes are absolutely worth your time. Just don't go into it expecting, you know, oh, I'm going to play this murder mystery, but it also, you know, over the shoulder, Resident Evil 4 style, you'll be very disappointed. But if you go into it expecting, you know, a somehow weirder version of Twin Peaks, I think that's the right way to go into it.
Right. If you like Twin Peaks, if you like the X-Files, if you liked Alan Wake, which I didn't, because why was he whining about his beautiful wife the whole time?
Yeah, he was whining about his wife that he obviously hated. We're not going to get into Alan Wake because I'm so mad at Alan Wake. Like, yes, why are you saving this woman that in every flashback that we get to, they obviously hate each other.
But why do you hate her? She's so pretty and nice to you.
Yeah, she's so nice. And she keeps doing stuff for him. We're not going to get into Alan Wake. And then they put out Control, which was so good, and it made me care about Alan Wake again. Anyway, we're not talking about Alan Wake.
So, I think American Nightmare was probably okay.
American Nightmare was pretty okay. But yeah, if you like point-and-click adventures, if you like murder mysteries, if you like Twin Peaks, this is a great game. You're going to learn a lot about 80s movies, and you might learn a little bit something about yourself. Probably not. So now is the time in the show where we are going to go to our favorite website, Metacritic, and we are going to read some reviews that are going to change our minds and make us hate these games.
Okay. Who goes first?
Well, you're the guest. You go first.
All right. So this one review, it's very short, and it was just like a little blurb, but I really liked it because it kind of sums up how you probably should feel about the game. This is from PC Power Play. It's difficult to tell where genius ends and incompetence begins, but either way, it's astoundingly entertaining. And
yeah,
I have
that's
a
pretty much it.
Yeah, that's the game.
Yeah, that's the game.
So I have a couple of really funny ones from people that obviously just did not get it. So this is Scatula in a Hat. This game deserves a place of residence in hell, not in my PS3. I want nothing more than for this game to delve into the fiery pits of hell where it rightfully belongs. Everything about this game is bad. The gameplay is bad. The graphics are mind-blowingly terrible. The voice acting is bad. And the monsters are laughably bad. I'm able to enjoy movies and certain other games that are so bad they're good. But this game is so bad that it's just bad. Nothing more. Nobody deserves to play this game. Not even the worst of mankind. Stay far away from Deadly Premonition.
Oh boy, I think we need to get Scotula in a Hat.
Yeah.
A thesaurus. Because that review was very bad.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Learn some more words. Just a couple.
Wow.
And this is from Project K-Jorp. I don't understand people's names at all. I mean, I get Cthulhu, but... Okay. The center sandwich is the greatest sandwich invented since its peanut butter-based cousin. It's strawberry jam, sliced turkey, and cornflakes on toast. The turkey works a bit like peanut butter, only with more of a savory, meaty, flavor. Combined with jam, it really reminds me of honey-glazed ham, only even more sweet and savory. The cornflakes taste neutral, but they give the sandwich this nice crunchy texture. It would probably be even better if the cornflakes were mixed with nuts or dried strawberries. 10 out of 10. Too bad the game that created it, Deadly Premonition, isn't good at all. The very unique story and characters could have made the game a classic, but the combat is just so outdated and unfun, and the music is so loud and inappropriate that they completely kill the game.
0 out of 10.
That sandwich does.
0 out of 10
delicious.
+3 for the sandwich. I also had that review pulled up. I thought that one was wonderful. But yeah, that actually, we didn't get into the music in this game at all, but the music is Yeah, it's one of the best parts because it does have, like, there are tracks in here that are tense, and there are tracks that, you know, are dramatic, and most of the time captures, you know, sort of the feeling of what's going on in the game at the time. And then we have this track, which is playing right now, that doesn't go with anything. It's so crazy and so weird and out of nowhere and has nothing to do with anything, but it plays in the game, like, all the time. And
constantly.
Just sort of randomly. And I don't understand, but it, like, it's part of the charm. Part of the charm of this game is that there's just stuff that happens for no reason, and you never get an explanation for it, but you look at it and it's like, well, that was interesting. I've never seen that in a video game before. Just like you've never heard a track like this with the whistling and the acoustic guitar and whatever the hell else is going on in this song.
I like to think David Lynch would appreciate it.
I think if this song would have been made in the 1980s, it probably would have been in Twin Peaks.
Most definitely.
Yeah. It's just
so... You know, the music reminds me... It's not as good as this, so please don't think I'm saying that at all. But it reminds me of Persona. How the tracks, they're just kind of jazzy and fun for no reason.
Yeah, I was going to make a Persona comparison earlier. I don't remember why, but yeah.
Probably the timeline stuff.
The timeline stuff, yeah, or whatever. But I shouldn't have said anything, but yeah, the weird comparisons to Persona games in this shitty combat murder mystery. So
let's hear some more reviews.
Oh, well, you took my good one.
I'm sorry.
No, wait, I did have another good one. Mm. Where did that other one go?
Oh, I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
So, pure rubbish. World's worst game. Sega Saturn had better games than this. These people should be shot for making this. It's awful graphics with dumb story. Don't buy this game, please. 0 out of 10. Yeah, so I guess he didn't like it very much.
Oh,
I wonder if the game would have been better reviewed if it was more expensive, because I feel like people that wanted to play it would play it, and not like just everybody that had 20 bucks in their pocket.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't, because then I wouldn't have played it if it would have been full price. It actually may have been worsely reviewed, because I find that a lot of people will forgive a game that they don't necessarily love if it's $20. But Justin did not think so. He also is not a huge fan of Jim Sterling because Sterling, who I usually don't like, gave this game a 10 out of 10. So he can't be all bad. But Justin says, this game is garbage. And that's, I think, the only thing he says about the game. The rest of it's about Jim Sterling. I can't believe that Jim Sterling still has a job at Destructoid after giving this piece of trash game a 10 out of 10. He is a disgrace to all video game reviewers. This game is the worst of the entire generation, and he shouldn't be allowed to review games if he thinks this game is anything above a 4 out of 10.
So we're calling for people to be murdered and calling for people to lose their jobs.
Because he reviewed a game well.
Sounds pretty typical for these.
I mean, that's Metacritic. So that was a review of Jim Sterling as a person. 0 out of 10.
All right, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, this has been very fun. And we will definitely have you back because you are going to play and stick it to the man, sort of a point and click adventure game. You might like it.
I don't know if I can get over the art style. Isn't it a platformer? Like, I hate platformers. Isn't it a platformer?
It's a side scrolling point and click adventure game. There's no platforming.
That sounds better than a platformer.
Yeah. No, you do run around side scrolling, but you know, you're never platforming. Anyway.
Okay.
I just want someone to have played Stick It to the Man. If you've played Stick It to the Man, send me an email or send me, you know, get with me on Twitter, and I just want to talk about Stick It to the Man. Is that too much to ask?
Apparently, yes.
All right. So before we leave, we're going to get another shot at plugging your podcast and your convention. So go ahead.
Sure. So again, Indie Pods United, we are always looking for new podcasters to be on it. It's a free convention, and then there are paid aspects of it if you want to do like the workshops and stuff like that. And it's all virtual, so you don't have to worry about COVID or whatever. Also, Myth Story. Each week we take a myth, legend, cryptid, what have you. We tell you the story and then the history behind it. And that's Myth Story with an IE.
Yep, and we will link to that in the show notes. And I have been listening to it, and it's very good. I love a podcast where I get to learn something.
Well, thank you. And also, thank you both for having me on.
No problem. It was very much fun. So I'm going to plug Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. It's a weird podcast about neighborhood goings-on in the most insane town you will ever have visited. Chris is also on that sometimes. So I am on Twitter at My Neighbor MICH1. And if you go back and listen to episode, I think, 3 of this show, I explain why I have such a shitty Twitter handle.
It's so bad, dude. It's so bad. So I'm gonna plug my Twitch channel. So that's twitch.tv/Xeno_Nox. I play games. I'm pretty bad at it. I die a lot. Chat gives me hell, I give them hell. It's a good time. We have fun. And then I'm also on Twitter at Xenonox. I don't say much, but I go on rants
about
occasionally.
Avatar, the Last Airbender.
40 fucking tweet rants. It happens when I'm really tired, which happens a lot. So, you know, good times.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Cammy.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week when we're doing Alpha Protocol.